eternal unity. The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter, beginning with verse 1. And God says to us, "Listen, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Before we started to eat, my friend looked across at me, and he was just had a stunned look on his face, and he just said, "I can't believe this. It's hard to imagine that heaven will have better food than this." And we were sitting in a hotel restaurant over in Israel. I was on a trip for Bethany, and we were touring the Holy Land. And we were down in the basement of a huge hotel at the bottom of the Dead Sea. And I have never, ever seen a feast like that. And I've eaten at a lot of nice restaurants, I'll have to admit, through my life. But this was just unbelievable, the amount of food and the quality. And there were different stations with chefs at each station making this meal so fantastic. So my friend was echoing back to me what I was thinking in my own mind as well. And the next day we got up and talked about how great that meal was, and then I got hungry again and I needed to eat some more. And today, that trip probably took place about at least 15 years ago, and I can't even necessarily tell you or remember the things that I ate, and it's just a distant memory that it was some fantastic feast that I got to eat. It's interesting how the Bible often uses hunger as a way to depict something inside of our souls and our hearts that are looking for things in life, that are trying to find the stuff in life that's going to make us feel good and satisfied and kind of fill us up. And the human condition is often described with the word hunger or thirst, like we see in our text. Poverty is another one. And we don't necessarily see this about ourselves until God's word comes and kind of uncovers this in us and reveals it to us that really deep down inside of all of us, there is this sort of sense of things could be so much better, and there's got to be something out there in my world and in my life that can somehow satisfy this kind of irritating thing. Listen to what the angel says to the church in Laodicea, recorded in the book of Revelation. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And the problem is that we are tempted and invited to search for filling this vacuum in us, this craving in us. We're tempted to search for it in the wrong places and to things that really ultimately don't satisfy our souls for any length of time. The text in front of us says, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? And the audience here, it's important to keep in mind, is not unbelievers. Yes, there were maybe unbelievers that would hear and read this too, but this is being spoken to God's people. This is being spoken to people who knew about the coming Messiah and even had a trust in him and the hope that he would bring to them and so on. And it shows that this message needs to continually be spoken to God's church in the world, to even those who have the things of God around them. Because there's this constant lure back to all the stuff that this world offers us, that the bread of this world that looks like it's going to make us feel satisfied, but ultimately will leave us empty once again. And so God is saying to us here, don't you realize your situation? You need to stay aware of the fact that you're being drawn back to things in the world that aren't really going to provide you with that sense of satisfaction. Have you ever thought about in a typical day how much advertising hits you? How many different things, whether it's stuff online on your iPhone or whether it's radio or television, magazines, billboards and stuff. It's unbelievable all the different companies that probably in a typical day. One day at a Twins game a few years ago, I just decided to count how many companies were advertising just inside the stadium. It was over 80. I finally quit just in the stadium there. Just think in a typical day, hundreds probably of companies in various ways are trying to advertise. And because advertising is such a big deal, our government actually has to have laws to protect us from false advertising, from things that would lie to us. Now, companies will often embellish things and they'll bend the truth and they'll kind of shade things and so on. But there actually can be punishments for them for giving us false and lying and things. It's interesting, if you look at the ads, here's just an example. Look at the ads for the lottery. And if you flip the back of the ticket over on the lottery ticket, it'll tell you what your actual chances are of winning. And it's in very, very tiny print because it's so minuscule. Talk to the people that do accounting. They know this stuff. But boy, everything in the advertising looks like it's going to really, really give you something here. That's kind of a picture of how the world is with everything, not just money, not just cars and houses and stuff like that, just life. The world comes at us with these invitations and advertisements to buy into all the stuff that we can consume and eat spiritually, and it's going to satisfy. It's going to somehow make you feel so much better. Your life is going to be so much better, and yet the next day you're hungry again. The next day you still feel like you need to drink something else. And then they come along with the next thing that's going to make you satisfied. That's just how this world operates. And God is warning us about this and telling us, be careful of all of this. I had a friend from college here at Bethany years ago who went off into the business community, ended up selling commodities in the commodities exchange in Chicago. And I went down to visit him when he was in his early 30s, and he'd already made millions of dollars by now and was doing very well, had a beautiful big apartment. And he told me that he had about 10 friends that had come into that business about at the same time he did. And what he noticed in them was by the time they reached about age 30, most of them had made millions, were driving hot sports cars and living in penthouse apartments. But he said they all started to realize that something was missing in their life. They just didn't feel satisfied. And some of them started to go out and do volunteer work. Others committed suicide. Some of them got hooked on drugs. He had about 3 friends that were now cocaine addicts. And he said, it's just interesting how much you think when you hit all of this wealth at such a young age, and then you start to realize that even that isn't going to satisfy you. So in the middle of all of this and how the world hits us with all of this, God extends this beautiful invitation in his word. Listen again. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that means listen to my word. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Luther says it this way. God is saying to you, unless you incline your ear and come in this direction, you will die of starvation. So what God offers you is not only that it is going to eternally satisfy you because of what we have waiting for us in heaven, but it's going to cost you absolutely nothing. God invites you to leave your spiritual wallet at home when it comes to his invitation. You don't need to bring anything. You don't need to somehow offer him something in order to get this tremendous thing that's going to satisfy you. Now, in our world, we operate under the principle there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somehow, that has to get paid for. But in God's economy, there is this free banquet, this free feast of salvation. Now, it did cost something, but not to you. The payment for it has already been made through the work of his Son, who shed his holy blood, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, has he paid for this beautiful feast that God has prepared for us eternally. And God wants us to know and understand, each one of us, that this has all been done for you. It's been taken care of already. It's not as though God holds something over your head and says, well, Jesus did his part, and now you've got some things you need to finish and accomplish, and then you can have all of this. Then you can have this thing that is going to satisfy. No, he demands nothing from you, absolutely nothing. Now, you might think to yourself, well, I'm too sinful of a person to just be given the gift of heaven. That just seems too much. That someone as wicked and sinful and evil as I have been, and the sin that runs through my mind and my heart and my life, that someone in my condition could just be given the free gift of heaven. Well, that's exactly what he's done. I'm going to read it again. Listen, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, in other words, you got nothing to offer God. You have no goodness in you to offer him. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price to you. There's no fee involved from God's perspective. The whole banquet feast of eternal life in heaven has all been taken care of. It's all been paid for. Just come and feast on this through God's word and sacrament. It'll be interesting to finally get to heaven by faith in Christ and to realize what a banquet that is there, and to look back on the best meals we had, even like I did in that restaurant, and to realize how far different and far greater anything heaven has to offer compared to what we thought was so fantastic in this life. Live for enjoying that feast. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that through your holy word, you have called us to your great supper. And we beseech you, enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may not hear your word without fruit, but that we may prepare ourselves rightly for your kingdom and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly care. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Heaven before the throne in heaven.
And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go in his peace. Amen.